Hello, brewery fanatics, and welcome back to another episode of Brewery Travels. I'm your host, Joel Geyer, otherwise known as Brewery Travels on social media. And this week we are going back down to the Sunshine State, Florida, and for the third time, actually. And this time, though, we are going to focus in on Tampa and kind of the whole greater Bay Area and the amazing beer scene down there. And as always, I have two amazing guests with me, Bill and Mark. So, guys, how about we kind of get the ball rolling with just a little brief introduction with what got you into beer and kind of how you're part of the beer community. Bill, why don't you lead us off?
Sure. So I feel like my first real kind of craft beer experience was a Sam Adams summer. I was up in traveling to Massachusetts like in 2000 or so. And, you know, it was just completely different than any other beer I'd ever had. And yeah, you know, so my interest was kind of gradual, mostly during travels like to Portland, Oregon. I had a really big beer scene early on. And then when things started to pick up in the Tampa Bay area, like the moment that stands out to me is when I learned that Rap Brewing had growlers. You could go and, you know, bring home a gallon of, you know, really quality craft beer. That was really exciting to me. So it was the promise of what came in the Tampa Bay craft beer community. I started my Instagram, Tampa Bay Beertographer 2015, because it's still my only social media presence, and it was the first thing I went into because I like photography and I was really getting into craft beer, and it seemed like a good merger. And it just kind of, you know, slowly grew, and it's more casual and just a lot of fun. And, you know, I spend a lot of time bouncing around to the different breweries and events and stuff. And so that I don't have a job per se within the industry, but I feel like a little part of the community.
Yeah, absolutely. You certainly seem like it. Mark, what about yourself?
So I was an English teacher in a previous life, starting around 2002, when my gateway craft beer was Sam Adams Cherry Wheat at the Epcot Food and Wine Festival. And from that point on, I really hadn't tasted those kind of flavors in beer. I was more interested in wine, but then wine tends to lie. I found that wine doesn't always smell like what it tastes like. And with beer, I fell in love with beer because it really wears its heart on its sleeve. 98% of the time, what you smell is what you taste. And that taste is usually layered and multifaceted. And so as a teacher, I had done some research and realized that no one had ever written about Florida's beer history. And there was actually one gentleman who never really published it widely. And so after speaking with him and sorry, that's my son's alarm. So I'll just start back a couple seconds.
Yeah, no problem.
So after meeting that gentleman and realizing that no one had really published a history of Florida beer, I set about researching and doing that. And it took me about 3 years and multiple brewery visits. At one point, I could say I had visited every brewery in the state. That was when there were 95 breweries in the state. Now we're above 400. So I can't really say that anymore. Try as I might, I mean, one's open since we started this conversation probably. So it's kind of a Herculean task. But from there, I wrote a book about Tampa's beer history specifically, which was a breakout of the Tampa section in there, and met these guys who were starting a brewery who might be something one day. It was Cigar City Brewing, and you know, one of these days I think they might make it big. And they were just getting started, and they hadn't started packaging. They barely started kegging, and I started volunteering at the brewery, doing packaging runs and doing press here and there, doing a little bit of writing for them with them. And from there, it just kind of grew. And the guys that used to come around and taste beers now are part of the greater beer scene. And I continue to write and research and publish freelance articles. I write for Southern Brew News. I have my own website, floridabeernews.com, that try and publish at least weekly, if not daily, news of the industry, where I can keep up with it. I do have a full-time job and a family and lots of other stuff going on, so I don't always achieve that goal. But my goal is to just tell the story of Florida, because years ago when I started the website, Cycle Brewing started doing growlers, and their beers were highly sought after. And when they started doing growlers, no one on the national scene paid attention, except those who were trading beer. And so I noticed the national outlets wouldn't pay attention to it. So I thought, you know, Florida needs its own outlet. So I started it. And I started trying to keep up with the scene. And it used to be a lot easier, but it's not anymore. And we try and show that Florida's beer scene, just how much it's grown and just how many voices there are in the industry currently.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and Mark, kind of going back, you mentioned Cigar City's kind of early beginnings, and that's kind of the big name that most people are probably familiar with. You know, Cigar City is a national brand that has developed a very strong fan base, and you know, from their major events, you know, flagship IPAs, what has their growth and impact looked like from a local's perspective?
So Cigar City started for, they blazed a trail for lots of people. I mean, Dunedin Brewery, Tampa Bay Brewing Company, McGuire's were all production brew pubs. They were pubs. They were working on the small scale, but Cigar City was the first one to start a production brewery with aspirations of serving the greater, probably just greater Tampa, and then just the demand exploded outward. And they blazed a trail for lots of other breweries to kind of follow with Hi-Li. And with, I mean, they built their brewery on the back of a 7.5% IPA in one of the hottest states in the country weather-wise. I mean, that in and of itself is amazing to me. And then the second core beer was an English brown ale that never gets the love it deserves, but really never kind of found its footing. So, and they kind of grew and blossomed from there. Lots of other great beers in the International Beer Festival. But they really are looked at now as trailblazers and the kind of the ones who did it first when nobody else could kind of get it done.
Yeah, absolutely. And Bill, what about yourself and kind of your view on how Cigar City has kind of grown and changed and impacted the local scene?
Yeah, so as you know, just a pure beer fan, particularly in Tampa Bay craft beer. My impression of, you know, when I first started going to Cigar City was that it seemed like they always had something new and innovative on their menu. There was also always some new beer with some new flavor or twist or style that I was not familiar with yet. And it was just like, you know, really exciting. Yeah, and I know that, like, it was kind of alluded to, like, a lot of brewers that have their own breweries now started brewing at Cigar City, and, you know, they've just had a really collaborative persona or attitude toward, you know, encouraging other breweries to start up and grow, you know, the way that they did.
Yeah. Do you feel then that like there's even more? I'm like, where do you see Cigar City going? Do you think they're pretty comfortable with where they're currently at within kind of the beer scene as a whole, or do you think there's other places that they would still like to kind of explore and push?
I'm sure that they, you know, the throughout their history, they've always been trying to like push the boundaries and be very creative and explore different styles of beer and barrel aging, and I don't have any inside knowledge of what exactly their plans are, but I'm sure they don't plan to rest on their laurels.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I mean, and Mark kind of hinted at this too, mentioning some of these other names, but you know, Bill, there are obviously some other long established breweries outside of Cigar City. So what have been the major changes to the beer scene locally over the last couple decades that you've lived there?
I think one of the things that has, one of the things from my perspective that's changed over time is just the ways that the breweries have been able to get their beer to, you know, the people. And I know there were some like state laws or something that had to be changed to make it more possible for them to distribute or get their beer to more people. But, you know, it started with growlers, and then crowlers, the cans became a huge thing, and suddenly, you know, you didn't have to have the machinery of a canning line or anything. You could just, you know, someone could just hand pick what they wanted to take home with them. And, you know, some have gone the route of like having a restaurant with their brewery, and you know, it's also a lot of places have developed a very family friendly atmosphere. Three Daughters and Green Bench come to mind here in St. Pete. You know, they both have you know, nice beer gardens, or they'll have events and concerts and stuff. Yeah, so I think that yeah, the means of getting the beer out to the people has driven a lot of the growth.
Yeah, absolutely. And Mark, what about you? Because obviously you wrote the book on kind of the history of beer statewide, but like locally, kind of looking at the Tampa area, how have you kind of seen the changes and growth take place?
Well, I hate to use the phrase because it really is overused, but a rising tide lifts all boats, and that's really been true from, you know, Dunedin Brewery and Tampa Bay Brewing Company were some of the first breweries in the area, but kind of like Bill alluded to, there really wasn't the distribution push and the demand for craft, and once the people got a taste for craft beer, they were clamoring for it, and so the distributors took notice, and JJ Taylor signed Cigar City Brewing. And then you couldn't sign craft breweries fast enough at a certain point in probably the mid 2000s, probably like the 2007, 2008. And you had this kind of influx of breweries coming to distribution and being widely available in shelves and in bars and restaurants. And then after that, Cigar City was really, kind of a hotbed of brewery activity where you can point to probably a dozen other breweries at least whose brewers have had some kind of experience there, whether it's Angry Chair, Seventh Son, a host of breweries, and more that I should remember that I don't. But they all came up from Cigar City, and they learned there, and they kind of cut their teeth there. And then they went and they got to do their own thing. And I know Joey Redner, the founder of Cigar City Brewing, always regarded it as a success when he might have lost people, but those people went and followed their dreams and made the beer scene better. And so that's really been the growth and the strength of Tampa, is that the brewers all this collaborative spirit of community where they are in competition, but they're not to the same point where they'll collaborate on a beer much faster than they will fight each other over it. And there's that same spirit of sharing and giving that's in many other beer scenes, but it's this kind of exchange of ideas that happens all the time that really shows that the scene is growing. In addition to, I always found that like scenes like Denver and Portland and San Diego, you have breweries that niched off. You have breweries that would do some that would do, you know, IPAs really, really well. And they might have some other, some of the Belgians and Germans. And Tampa has really kind of solidified itself with bars and restaurants and breweries and brew pubs that have kind of niched off and they do what they do really well. Some do lots of things really well, but you have this kind of community where all the different breweries complement each other, where I don't go, if I'm going to St. Pete, I know who I'm going to for stouts and IPAs and sours, and they're not always the same brewery. And yet sometimes it's like, oh, let me try the new guy and see what he or she does well. And it's that diversity of style and inspiration that's really, really fun.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and I know that we've kind of so far at least focused on Tampa, but we can't ignore the fact that the overall area has become a craft beer hotspot. You know, you mentioned St. Pete, Clearwater, Tarpon Springs, Dunedin have all developed their own craft beer scenes. And so how have these areas kind of compared to Tampa? And is there anything that ties all these cities together when it comes to beer, Mark?
So Tampa is, and you, in some of the background emails you sent, you alluded to it from some of your other guests. Tampa is the beating heart of craft beer in the state of Florida, and really, I would argue, in the Southeast. And anybody who says differently is either from a different scene or is trying to convince you of something. Tampa really has been a hotspot of innovation where Georgia was stifling brewery development and other states were really making it difficult for breweries to open. Florida, and especially Bob Buckhorn as the mayor of Tampa, really decided to lean into craft beer where a lot of other areas didn't. And Tampa was one of the first areas to put marketing front and center on its craft breweries and kind of spotlight with the news and the general media and get that attention on the beer scene because they knew that it would bring people in, and they saw the reactions that people had to craft breweries. And so that fostered the development. And so now you've got not just Tampa, but you've got Largo, you've got Seminole, you've got Gulfport, all of these little offshoots and areas outside of Tampa proper that are known for great breweries. And the thing that we found that happens, like in Dunedin with Dunedin Brewery, Seventh Son, and some of the other, when you've got three breweries, that makes it a destination. And then other breweries add on to that, because there's only one brewery in an area, then you really have to go out of your way and trek there and trek back. But when, like, Dunedin Brewery used to stand alone in Dunedin, and Seventh Son, Caledonia, Queenie, there's probably seven or eight breweries in this little offshoot, in this kind of little corner of Pinellas County in Tampa Bay. And because there's all those breweries, there's a spirit of collaboration. So somebody comes to one brewery, it's a walk to another four breweries. And so you really have this spirit of collaboration. People from Cigar City used to send drinkers to Seventh Son. Seventh Son's a good 30-ish minutes from the original Seventh Son. Is probably about 30 minutes from Cigar City. And so it's this kind of spirit of sharing entrepreneurship, sharing drinkers, sharing inspiration, collaborating on beers. That really is the hallmark of Tampa beer. So you might be a brewery in Tarpon Springs, but you're never isolated. And the way that Visit St. Pete Clearwater, Visit Tampa Bay, all the convention visitor bureaus, all they get behind the craft breweries and do ale trails and do the stamp books and all of that to promote the breweries. The documentary that just came out to help promote the beer scene in both areas, it's really inspiring, and it's really cool, and it's really mature. It shows that the scene is not just an isolated group of breweries. You know, we've got one brewery that's devoted to just lagers. We've got a brewery that does mostly sours. We're niching off and we're growing in leaps and bounds.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and so Bill, what are your kind of thoughts in terms of how the beer scene is kind of maybe a little bit different or in these other suburbs and cities, and how they kind of can all still be tied together?
Yeah, so I really kind of don't think of them as, you know, each individual city. I kind of think of them as the Tampa Bay area craft beer mm-hmm. scene. You know, some of the things that have developed that help tie them all together is like, you know, the stamp book. I'm partial to the Tampa Bay Ale Trail, and Tampa Bay Beer Week also has been a big week-long event every year that really ties all of these breweries and all these little cities together. And like Mark had mentioned, you know, some of the breweries are a little bit spread out, but then there's little pockets of multiple breweries, like you mentioned Dunedin and downtown St. Pete. You know, you can hit at least six or seven, you know, in the span of a dozen blocks in downtown St. Pete. And then there's still, you know, a few that are kind of off on their own, but making really great beers, like Arcane Aleworks and Corporate Ladder, a little bit south of Tampa. But yeah, I think of it more in terms of the larger Tampa Bay area, as opposed to, you know, just Tampa or St. Pete or Dunedin individually.
Yeah, well, and thank you for correcting my pronunciation on Dunedin, because obviously I've never been there, to both of you. So you both kind of touched on some topics about, you know, whether it's the brewery pass, a brew bus, some of the marketing, all that kind of stuff. Bill, do you feel like the city does do a good job of showcasing the local breweries? And is there anything else that you would like to see down the road to kind of showcase what there all is in the area?
I feel like I'm not as, maybe not as in touch in that side of craft beer in the area. I mean, I know, you know, there's been some changing of, like I said earlier, the changing of laws that allowed for on-site consumption or on-site, you know, sales to occur at small breweries. And I think the city of Tampa has been real supportive. You know, Mark was mentioning the mayor is really strongly behind the beer scene. And I think there's a real recognition that, you know, it's a draw for tourists, because, you know, beer tourism, I think, is I'm a participant.
me too.
A real drawing factor, and something that the city is aware of and gets behind.
Yeah, no, well, I mean, and so Mark, you also touched on like the documentary and all these other things that have been taking place locally. So do you feel like Tampa's done a good job? And you mentioned, like, how has that kind of evolved over the years? And do you see more things happening in that kind of realm in the future?
So I think Tampa's current mayor, Jane Castor, is a supporter of craft beer in the area. And I mean, not to the degree, and it's not growing. The craft breweries aren't growing the same clip as they were under Buckhorn, but you see the city and the film commission and the Convention Visitor Bureau get behind and pushing craft beer in a lot more strongly than in other areas. You're absolutely right. Beer tourism, I mean, I think it's safe to say all three of us are participants in beer tourism and want to look at craft breweries. And with Tampa Bay, you don't really have to go to the deep sites of beer. You know, you don't have to go to Untappd. You don't have to go to Beer Advocate and Rate Beer the same way that you used to deep dive and find those breweries. I mean, there are Facebook groups, and there are just the city itself is trying to put forth as much information as they can. They're very open arms when it comes to festivals and when it comes to promoting the breweries and helping them out as much as they can, because it's going to help the city. I don't remember years ago when Hunapu Day was such a huge, tremendous festival. They did a study on the amount of economic impact just in terms of what the direct impact towards Cigar City, and the numbers were staggering. Because people are coming from literally all over the world to attend this festival, brewers, beer enthusiasts, but you know, people, the reputation, people care about it and they want to see what it's all about. And maybe that's not the best example, because you've got, you know, the extreme beer geeks in there that are hunting beers pretty strongly, but you get a chance to try with those festivals. You get a chance to try from all over the world beers that would take a lot of effort and a lot of money and a lot of shipping to try otherwise. And so I think it's that spirit of experimentation, that spirit of community that expands beyond Tampa, because Tampa brings people in. And I love that it's Tampa Bay and that it's inclusive of the five counties that surround Hillsborough County and Tampa proper. We're inclusive of them too, from everywhere from Lakeland to St. Pete and South. And if you stretch it even to Sarasota and some of the breweries there. And I think we see that and it's reinforced by the number of out-of-state breweries that want to build in Florida. Sun King has a tap room in Sarasota. Lord Hobo from Massachusetts is trying to build in Seminole Heights. I mean, you've got these breweries from out of state that are trying to build and capture some of the lightning in a bottle that's happening here. And I think those are all just signs of a thriving beer scene that's supported by the city and supported by the people indirectly.
Yeah. Well, and to kind of build off of that, I know, because we haven't really touched too much yet on some of these other events, you know, like Tampa Bay Beer Week, I know, is in the spring. each year, at least it is currently. Is that like a big selling point still in terms of like bringing in tourism, or is it more like locally focused where you have more locals kind of maybe being exposed to new breweries and new beers?
I definitely have friends that come in from different parts of the country that I know, you know, I've met through Tampa Bay Beer Week. I mean, I think it is a big draw for beer tourism. Just the number of events throughout the week, and you know, there's different focuses. There's, you know, Cycle has their barrel age day. Corporate Ladder has a day focused on their sour, their fruit smoothie sour type beers. King State just did a lager fest day this past year. We had, Hunapu Day had traditionally been the sort of the grand finale of the Tampa Bay Beer Week, but I don't know whether that's coming back or not. But just a whole host of events, and yeah, it brings the community together, but I think it definitely brings people from all over the country, because a lot of breweries will have their limited release beers are highly sought after, you know, across the country, with traders and such. And so, you know, each brewery, or many of them, will have, you know, Tampa Bay Beer Week releases. You know, they specifically brew a run of beers just to release during that week. So I think it definitely brings people in, and it, you know, sort of tightens the community that we have here.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and so, Mark, you hinted at this topic earlier in the episode, and I've done other episodes on both Orlando and the Miami Fort Lauderdale beer scenes. And in both of those episodes, I asked them to kind of compare their respective beer scenes to the other large metro areas in Florida. And as you kind of mentioned, you know, everyone pointed towards Tampa as being the place that spearheaded the craft beer movement, and to this day still has the strongest scene. And obviously, like as you said before, you kind of agree with those thoughts, and I think many, many other people and most other people would and should. But do you feel that these other cities are at least making up some ground and are really starting to have very strong, similar beer scenes in some ways?
Strong, yes. Similar, no. I mean, Jacksonville is growing in leaps and bounds. I visited there a couple months ago, and their scene is starting to niche off a little bit, and they've got some really strong powerhouse breweries that are doing some great beer. Tallahassee is growing. I don't know. They're strong. They are deep, not wide, in the fact that they've got, I think they've 6 breweries now, with a couple in planning, depending on who you talk to. But their scene is experimenting and growing, and I mean, pointing at Ology Brewing for, they just opened a Tampa location in the old Angry Chair. Miami scene, Miami scene is growing the way that it is. I always got to love and shout out to John Wakefield and Jay Wakefield Brewing, because that guy opened his brewery as a home brewer, and then little did he know that he was going to be surrounded by the likes of Dogfish Head, Heineken. Anheuser-Busch owns 2 breweries down there his way. So he's the lone independent waving the flag in the middle of all of these corporate breweries. So not that Dogfish is corporate, but he certainly has competition.
Yeah, on the national, yeah, absolutely. Breweries.
In Miami, and there are breweries that are doing great things all over Florida, and there are breweries in rural Florida that are doing great things. But Tampa really has that kind of conglomerate, and when you come to Tampa, you feel it. It's a spirit of community, but it's every brewery has it, and every brewery can probably name their favorite beer from other breweries. And it's this spirit of we're in it together that's really inspiring. And that really, you know, unites. Tampa Bay Beer Week is when they get to show everything off. And I want to touch on something, because we haven't said the C word, and the C word's very important. That's COVID. Because COVID really, with Tampa Bay Beer Week, it decimated Tampa Bay Beer Week, and Tampa Bay Beer Week spent all its money as an organization helping to support the breweries that were struggling so badly.
That's awesome.
I think that I think it's fun and important to say that Tampa Bay Beer Week really took a step back during COVID, and they held Tampa Bay Beer Week to hold Tampa Bay Beer Week. But because they couldn't bring everybody in from all over the way that they did, they really focused on the local aspect of it. And you have this kind of renewed sense of camaraderie between local and national, because the national breweries like to come in and do events, but the locals really kind of reinforced it because they kept it alive through the COVID years. And so now you've got this kind of renewed, reinvigorated Tampa Bay Beer Week that's better than ever.
That's awesome to hear. And so, and Bill, what are kind of your thoughts then on this topic in terms of, obviously the Tampa is essentially the hub of Florida, but how do you feel kind of the other beer scenes are growing and kind of comparing now, you know, even versus just even 5 to 10 years ago?
Well, I think the two areas that I'm most familiar with that I've, you know, traveled to with the intention of, you know, visiting as many breweries as I could are Miami, Fort Lauderdale, and Orlando. I have a friend that lives in Orlando, so that makes it easy. I don't know that maybe just because I'm not down there and visiting as often, but I don't know that they have or as seemingly tightly knit as Tampa Bay brewers are. But there's definitely, you know, several that I could point to in both regions that are making really, you know, high quality beer that I, you know, get excited for. You know, Jerry Wakefield was mentioned, Three Sons, and then Orchestrated Minds and Invasive Species up in Fort Lauderdale. I've enjoyed all those very much. And then like Orlando has, is it Elliptical?
Ellipsis, I think.
Ellipsis, excuse me. Orlando has Ellipsis and Tactical and Hourglass. Ellen Sideward is making really great beer. But yeah, it's they're gradually growing, and they also have, you know, they're in cities that have other major attractions, to where, like, you know, the that lure people into the city, you know, like all of the theme parks and, you know, and all the activities and things to do in Miami being such a big city that it is. So it might be harder for them to, I don't know, really become more well known or for their beer scene to make their mark locally. But they're definitely more and more opening, you know, strong breweries with really exciting beers.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and so now that we've taken, you know, we took a quick step to look like more statewide, let's hone back in now on the Tampa Bay area specifically. And I want you each to create a flight of four beers to represent the Tampa Bay beer scene. And this can focus on certain styles, certain breweries, one-off flagships, whatever you see fit. Bill, you can lead us off.
Okay. So I, you know, you sent us the questions ahead, so I gave it some thought, and I'm going more in terms of both my own preferred styles, but also it highlights, you know, I pick breweries that are really strong, have really strong quality versions of these beer styles. So I like, you know, in the category of like a sweet pastry stout, Angry Chair is probably one of the best producers of a variety of sweet pastry stouts in the area. And my favorite is their Moon Butter, like their regular Moon Butter. It's a peanut butter imperial stout. So, and, you know, I think we discussed it's difficult to pull off peanut butter in a beer, but one of my favorite things when it's done right, and that one
I agree
really good. Then if I want a like a juicy hazy IPA, I like Magnanimous. They have a whole series called Juice Lord, but I think my favorite of those is called Juice Lord Have Mercy. Then yeah, like I said, they're just really strong in their IPAs, among, you know, other styles of beer that they produce. But I think they're one of the leading IPAs, in my opinion, in Tampa Bay. Then to mention Corporate Ladder in the category of fruit smoothie sours, they have one called Xenomorph Blood, named after, you know, the movie Alien, because the beer has just this thick, bright green color to it, and it's just a blend of like honey and five different types of fruit, and it's just really fantastic. And lastly, those are kind of my three big preferred styles. So, and I haven't mentioned really Cycle too much yet. Cycle Brewing is probably one of my favorite in St. Pete. I really like their bottom of the ninth brown ale. They recently brought it back. It's something that they brewed early on, close to when they first opened. They recently brewed a new batch, so I was excited to get to have some of that again. That'd be my flight.
Absolutely. Mark, you're up.
So I've been going through I have my top like 15, and Bill, as you went through yours, I crossed off the ones that intersected. So Juice Lord was on my list, and Angry Chair, but I had them for Vodnik. So the four that I would pick, my first one would be Seventh Son for their Control Freak Pale Ale, which I find is just darn near perfect. Just a nice blend, just a nice burst of sweet malt with some wonderful hops to it. And it's just clean and consistent every time. And they're based out of both Dunedin and Tampa. Number two would be Coppertail's Night Swim, which is a porter that has just lots of nice caramel and chocolate notes to it. It used to be brewed with cacao nibs. I'm not sure if it still is, but it sure tastes like it. And it is just one of my go-tos that's just always around, and always, it's a year-round beer for them. So either to have it on draft, they have a vanilla treatment of it called Day Swim, and that's around sometimes. And it is just goes down real easy, and I can drink several of them in a sitting. That's my number two. My number three is probably going to be Berry House's Tampa Export Lager. Berry House, I interviewed them on my podcast, and their story combined with their liquid is just absolutely solid. Their lagers are top notch, and they don't do anything halfway. Their tap list is 95% lagers, and between their Big Pluck and Pills and their Export Lager is just their kind of their lead beer, and it's where I want it to be, and it's where I can find it. And so that one kind of goes its way to the top of the list. And then my number four is a tough, I'm going to go Cycle, but I'm going to go Sunday. They're part of their week series, and it is their Double Barrel Barley Wine. And it is just, it's a veritable parfait of flavors with different barrels and different, and I only had a sample of it this year because it sold out so quickly. But it is definitely on my list to check out next year. It's just so sweet and so multifaceted with all the different layers of flavor and so much vanilla from the barrels and so much spirit character. And it's a sipper and a sharer for sure. But that one, I would be remiss if I didn't mention that one. And then, you know, there are like 10 that are tied for fifth place. So,
yeah, absolutely. I know it's not the easiest question, but it's a fun one. It makes for a good graphic as well. Both those flights sound absolutely delicious. And now that we talked individual beers, I want to give you each a chance to kind of give some special shout outs to breweries, you know, for one reason or another. Mark, we can start with you this time. What are three breweries that we've maybe discussed or that we haven't mentioned yet that you just want to give a shout out to?
Okay. The first one has to be Dunedin Brewery. Dunedin Brewery is the oldest production brewery in the state. They didn't produce on a major level for a long time, but they've been holding the candle in the darkness. I mean, they were the ones who were making great beer since the mid 90s, and they didn't compromise, and they've grown, and they've really were the Cigar City before Cigar City. And I hate to kind of compare the two because Dunedin Brewery is a small family run brewery, and they are still just keeping the faith the same word, the same way they were in the mid 90s. Their Piper's Pale Ale was the first beer I had after my 21st birthday, because when I turned 21, there weren't a whole heck of a lot of breweries in Tampa Bay. And so it's always held a special place in my heart. That's Dunn Brew. And then you said four, right?
How about we'll do three? Yeah, okay. But we could after Bill does his, if you want to throw one more in there. If Bill doesn't hit it, then we can come back to you.
The second one has to be Tampa Bay Brewing Company, another one that's been carrying on since the mid-90s. And they are easily the most overlooked brewery in Tampa Bay, along with Dineen Brewery. But they are just you can go to either of their pubs. They have two. And their Reef Donkey is their core beer. And it is just this hoppy monster of a pale ale. And it is very phenomenal. Good. And they only get better from there. And so they have a very cool experimental brewer. They do a hazy IPA series. They're up to number 20 called Hop Silo. They just did one with Balebreaker out in Yakima. That's fresh hops. That's just really solid. And they are, people don't know if they're corporate owned or if they're family owned. And they're a family owned brewery that's been carrying on since the 90s. And they are another one that's really kind of a hidden gem in Tampa Bay. And that's number two. Number three. It's always tough. I have to go Magnanimous, because they're one of the newest breweries in Tampa Bay, and they are in Tampa Heights, which is just adjacent to Seminole Heights, and they are within walking distance of Garage East Meadery and probably three or four other breweries, and they are just they're killing it right now. They are firing on all cylinders. They are making everything from hazy IPAs to barley wines to barrel aged stouts to pilsners and Helles lagers. I mean, they're this team that's come from many different breweries around Tampa, and they kind of broke off, and they didn't have to. They all had great careers with the way they were doing, but they all decided that they wanted to follow their dream and open their own brewery. And they've been able to, in one of the crowdest and busiest beer scenes in the country, they've been able to kind of carve a niche for themselves. And they just released a barley wine stout blend, a barrel stout, and a barrel barley wine for their second anniversary. And all three beers are amazing, and they stand on their own, and yet you can kind of taste the influences with all three. And so they have not disappointed me at any time I visited there.
Very, very cool. And Bill, what are your three shout outs?
My three are going to be first Woven Water. They're a fairly new brewery just in the last couple of years. And most of these I picked out these breweries to mention, and I'm realizing that a lot of it has to do with the people, the beer tenders, the brewers, and just how welcoming and
that's a good thing to be able to shout out.
Yeah, fun spirited that they all are. Woven Water, and they make really great fruited sours and hazy IPAs and a couple of really quality stouts. I think I mentioned them briefly, but Arcane Aleworks over in Largo, they make, again, all three of my favorite styles of beer incredibly well. They do these kettle sours, and Halloween is coming up, and so they have a special, I think they're doing two weekends this year, where they have all these sour and then sort of chocolate-based candies that they use as inspiration for beers. So like a Skittles beer and Sour Patch Kids and then Reese's Peanut Butter and all of these. And, it's just really fun and really tastes great. and then I also want to mention Grand Central Brew House in St. Pete. That's similar to Berry House in terms of the kind of focused on lagers and German style beers, and they've quickly just engaged with the community with a lot of weekly events, a trivia night or they'll show a movie in their beer garden, and again I've gotten to know a couple of the beer tenders, and they're just all really fun, engaging people. So they make you feel, yeah. I said the people who fly feel, you know, a big part of the community. And so,
yeah. Absolutely. Mark, did your fourth one get mentioned, or do you need to do one more shout out here?
No, Arcane was one that I was definitely looking, making sure they got shouted out. And the other one, I'll do one more because you open the door.
Yeah, absolutely.
Green Bench has been doing their Sunshine City IPA, aside from Hi-Li and Freedive and maybe one or two other IPAs in the state of Florida, their Sunshine City is just freaking fantastic. I mean, that it is, the hop character in it is very unique and very, it's just got all this parfait of flavor in it. And it's available in most grocery stores, and it's in my fridge all the time. I mean, it is a solid Florida beer, an IPA day pick for sure. And they have a facility devoted solely to sour beer. It's I think 70 degrees year round, just for the ideal fermentation for sours. And that could be a little high. I think it might be in the 60s, but it's called Web City Cellars, and they are just, they're great guys, great people, great beer tenders, great brewer. And they don't get recognized enough for some of the work they do in sour beer for sure.
Very, very cool. You guys, this has been awesome. There, you know, I've only been to Tampa once briefly, and I definitely want to get back to explore more of the beer scene. And listening to you guys talk about it is a big reason why. I mean, there is so much to try down there, and it just seems like an amazing beer scene in pretty much every facet. So I want to thank you both so much for coming on and sharing your time and knowledge with me and the listeners. And so we can kind of wrap things up here with any final thoughts, conclusions, as well as giving shout outs to how people can follow you on social media, contact you, et cetera, if they have any follow-up questions, Mark.
Sure. I'm FL Beer News on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. I also run the BeerWise podcast, which is an interview with brewers and movers and shakers in the beer community. Love to talk Tampa beer. Joel, you come down, you please let me know. Give me a call. We'll, I'm in the northern reaches of Tampa beer. I live north of Tampa Bay, but happy to show you around, make some recommendations, and love you to see the scene because it's really grown in leaps and bounds.
Absolutely. And Bill?
Yeah. So I'm on Instagram, Tampa Bay _ beertographer. I'm just a really big beer enthusiast, particularly Tampa Bay craft beer. And, you know, if you're looking for a next spot for a beercation, this is probably one of the best places you can pick. And if you can be here during Tampa Bay Beer Week, so much the better, because it'll be, you know, everybody puts out their very best for that event.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, like I said, Tampa's definitely high on my list to return. But for now, we'll just have to listen to this podcast and prepare myself for that day. But if you are a new listener, you can find me on Twitter at Brewery Travels, on Instagram at Brewery _Travels. You can also go to the website, thebrewerytravels.com, where you can find the interactive maps of my brewery visits, past articles, links to all the past podcast episodes, all of that kind of good stuff. And as always, remember, whether it's where you're visiting or where you're living, be sure to drink local everywhere. Cheers, everyone.